This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast and still the only unofficial AFC Wimbledon podcast. The one was had a dream. My name is Lee Finch and as ever, I am joined by Danny Baker. I'd like to say, unfortunately, AJ French, who was meant to be joining us, unfortunately stuck in Italy, or he was stuck in Italy when I spoke to him. So yeah, he's unfortunately been able to not join us tonight. So yeah, you have got Tweedledee and Tweedledum. You work out which one's which. But yeah, Danny, how are we? You good?
I'm not Tweedledum or Tweedledee, pal. I'm one of the clever crew. You've got a French in Italy. You were going to say Italia earlier, which would have been superb. But yeah, good week. How are you doing? All right?
Very well, mate. Very well. After we'll come on to Sutton. But yeah, very well. It's good leaving games. Very happy. Even though I did want to, I know you normally start the show with some nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm a bit irked. Annoyed, right?
That's a good word from you as well, irked.
Yeah, I've got toilet paper that gives you word of the day.
Word of the day, toilet paper. Okay, fine. Yeah. That's fair enough. Go on then. So, what's your irk?
On a Wednesday, we order takeaway mostly on a Wednesday. Now, Wednesday? It's Thursday. Yeah. On a Thursday, I always take away.
What's your takeaway night? Do you have it once a week takeaway night?
At the moment, during the score days, it's about 4 days a week at
Mate,
the moment.
Just
so. It's unreal.
Me and Mrs. But Baker are Friday or Saturday normally.
Usually Saturday after football, because if I go football, get back late, we always have takeaway, fish and chip shop. But when we record the pod, I'm usually working till say 7 after get through the door. The missus normally work. You got the kids. Kids are roaming around everywhere. So it's like, none of us can be bothered to cook. I've got the podcast. Let's just order takeaway. My problem I got is, so we've ordered pizza tonight from Fireway, the best pizza out there.
Where is it?
Fireway.
Yeah. What pizzas have you gone for?
Just a margarita, because you shouldn't have toppings.
Liberty.
Shouldn't have toppings on a pizza.
Okay, I'm falling out of you.
Well, no. If you go to Italy and you have pizza, throw you in the river. You shouldn't have toppings on a pizza, because it would then take away the taste of the pizza. The pizza should be cheese, tomato base.
Tomato
base on a nice, obviously, fresh dough.
I love the fact that you just said that if you had any toppings on a pizza, they'll throw you in a river. It's like lock, stock, I'll chuck you in a river.
Concrete boots.
Restaurant in Italy will ever sell a pizza with toppings on.
What are you talking about then?
Every person, you eat it and you get chucked in a river.
And they give you the hands and they're under their breath. I can speak a bit of Italian, so I know that. Anyway.
This is a fantastic start. You can't leave it on that. What do you mean you can speak a bit of Italian? What's the matter with you? Have you been on the old linguaphone, have you?
Many languages, mate. Many languages. I'm pidgin Italian. Bella.
So you're basically the same as everyone.
Scusi. You know what I mean? So when I went to Milan, have you heard the story about Milan?
I'm not sure I'm ready for it.
We'll go off subject, but I wanted to go to Milan, right? Because I wanted to go to the San Siro. So I told the missus they were knocking the San Siro down, so I had to get out there before.
Yeah, and they are, aren't they?
No, no. Well, so I told her they were knocking it down.
Right.
I had to get out there before. So a few of the lads, we went out there, saw Atlanta in Bergamo. What a lovely place.
Yep.
San Siro, went there. Brilliant. I loved it. Every minute of it was brilliant. Right. Get home, watching the Champions League final, wasn't it? Was it Man City, yeah. Inter, yeah?
Yeah.
They're interviewing some Italian guy from like Channel 4. So like he's English, but speaks full-on Italian. A bit like
you then.
Yeah. And then he goes, oh, it's good news. They're not knocking down the San Siro, right?
What?
So she turns to me and goes, oh.
Are you wind up?
Really? Is that the case? I was like, they were knocking it down, but they've changed their mind. Oh, yeah, like they just changed their mind. She goes to me, oh, you got a nice little Italian. She goes, what's next? They're going to. And I said to her, I'm trying to get an Argentinian trip. And I'm trying to tell her that Boca Juniors are going to be knocking down.
Oh, and to be honest, they need to. That Bombonera looks, it needs sorting out. The thing's cracking, isn't it?
You say a bad word about the Bombonera.
I'm not going to say a bad word. I'm saying, but the stadium is falling apart. Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You leave it. Anyway. So my irk of the day, right, because we've got off subject and we don't want many more complaints.
No.
This is an AFC Women podcast, not a...
not about your pizza and your Italian speaking, yeah.
Right. So if they forget a whole pizza or they forget a whole side, you ring them up and they bring you a new one, yeah?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But they forget a dip. So they forgot last three occasions now, a barbecue dip, right, which is not for me.
And
for
that
missus.
Is a bit of a deal breaker because if without the dip, I'm not interested to it.
But yeah, she goes mental because she's like, it's ruined my... dinner now, but you can't ring them for a 50p dip to get them to come out and give you the dip, do you? So you take it on the chin and go, right, they forget the dip. You mark them 4 out of 5 or 3 out of 5 instead.
Ooh,
you put they keep
though.
Getting the dip, but the missus, it completely ruins the dinner. How do you feel about that?
I can understand the frustration. What I would do, which is what me and Mrs. B do, is when we go out to McDonald's or whatever, we always just get a little bit of extra dip and we store them and stash them.
We've got stashed a barbecue, but you can't have the McDonald's barbecue unless it's for chips. You can't have it on anything else.
So you wouldn't have McDonald's barbecue with anything but the McDonald's chips?
Chips, but nothing else.
Oh, I think you need to broaden your horizon, mate.
No, that's all it's good for.
To be honest with you, let's be honest, if you added the pizza properly, which is margherita, you wouldn't have dip. Because in Italy, as you said, if you have anything on the pizza, you get chucked in the river. So you'd probably get chucked in the water.
I'm a garlic and herb man.
Well, who isn't?
But yeah, that was my before we went off subject. So
I can understand a frustration, but I also feel like maybe just buy your own barbecue sauce and then you kind of...
Not the same.
Well, ask them where they get theirs. Or go next time you're in town and you go past there, go, listen, I love you guys. I'm ordering loads. I want loads of sauce. Give me it.
Yeah, give me the free dips that you forgot last and I'll pay £1.50 for it.
Give me loads of these dips and I'll order a pizza now, by the way, or next one, go and do a pickup, because you're the old doobry in the cab, but get loads of
stashed. Not a cab. Anyway, and also
tomato, isn't it?
Talk about Milan wait till I tell her that Harrogate are knocking down their stadium.
Are they really?
No, I just want to take her on that weekend, remember that?
Let's do yeah, cool. Emmerdale, 15 miles away. So how's that going?
Not well at the moment.
No, I'm not surprised.
We had a little text conversation about it earlier and she weren't overly happy about it. But anyway.
Well, what is going well is the Wombles at the moment.
Yes.
Sutton, I wasn't there. Talk to me. How was it?
Brilliant, mate. Brilliant. Yeah. It was, I think Mick Dore, I said this on the debrief, I'll say it again. Mick Dore, he doesn't usually get it completely right. His scoring's unbelievable. If you go back and have a look at his scores on the doors, he gave Alex Bass a 9.5, which is probably fair, but he said there's probably not a keeper in the world better than him at the moment or something like that. Like even Real
what
Madrid,
was his distribution line? Because for me, that's the big difference between him and Zanev.
The big thing was the save he made after we went 1-0 down. Have you seen it? 1-0 up, sorry. We went 1-0 up.
I've seen one where he kind of pushes it onto a post or there's like a save and it goes across the line and Johnson clears it.
Yeah, that was at 1-0. It's point blank range and it's an unreal save. But yeah, Mick Dore said, we went up to Colchester on Tuesday. We played some beautiful football. We went to Sutton on Saturday. We had to fight and go toe to toe with them. And that's the difference. We mixed up both games. 1 week we can play football. The next week we'll fight you. We had Boogle, who was unbelievable. And what I'm loving about Wimbledon at the moment, I'm not under seven. They're all sevens at the moment. Even Nurfield, who I didn't think was great on Saturday, but his attitude, I said this again on the debrief, his attitude for me is absolutely spot on. He's coming over to the crowd. We're at Sutton, you're quite close, aren't you? You're quite close.
Yeah, you're right on top, yeah.
Right on top. And he's the arms up, the same as Colchester. He's giving it, he's getting the crowd going. And I think that kind of attitude is what we've missed. So I'll lay off him a little bit with his football and stuff. I still think he ain't helped with left back, but Lee Brown was class.
Yeah, you know my dad said that. My dad watched it. He actually said that Lee Brown actually had a really good game.
Really good. And that's the Lee Brown game that you want. It, the shithousery, battling. He was spot on with regards to that again. Do you know what I mean? After Ali misses an absolute sitter, he then gets the crowd going to sing the Ali song to get him up again. And we scored 2 minutes later. Johnson is just, I said to people around me, I said, people were giving Joe Lewis saying how good he is and Joe Lewis this, Joe Lewis that. Joe Lewis is good. But Johnson, I said, everyone's sleeping on Johnson. People don't realise how good this man is because he's so casual. He's so laid back because he is that good. He reads the game that well. He can just...
At the moment, Lee,
he's Rolls Royce, mate.
So in terms of Johnson and Lewis, are they a better partnership, do you think, than Robbo Charles, would you say? Would you pick them over them too? I mean, that's a big call, but where are you at? How good are we talking?
Let's wait till the end of the season before we're making calls like that, Danny, because that is... I'd have him over Callum Bailey. If we're going
to have him over Callum Bailey, which was a good one from last year. And you're definitely having him over... You're having him over, like, obviously, like, Nightingales and that sort of stuff.
A few people made a few points on Twitter regarding Nightingale and said some people didn't even want Nightingale to leave. And then when you look at the two centre-backs we got, Pierce on the bench, Callum Bailey to come back in, Nightingale's not getting anywhere near this team. And as I said before, we all love Nightingale. He's a Wimbledon man. He's done the right thing by going up to Ross County to go prove himself. I think that's to, again, get a move away from Wimbledon. I can't see him back in a Wimbledon shirt, which is unfortunate. But when you're looking at Johnson and Lewis, and you just think, I'd have either one of them over Taylor at the moment. I said that last week, and you said that's a big call.
That is a huge call, because I thought Taylor was absolutely superb.
He is, but Johnson's up there with him. You probably could put him on par. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what we've done. We've replaced people like Taylor. We've replaced, like, Ali up front. We'll talk about in a minute, is he going to be off or not? But Boogle's just a different gravy from what we've seen before.
Like we said last week, he just seems like the absolute Wimbledon forward. Like,
he's a monster.
Hardworking, physical, happy to have a bit of a scrap. Something... the kind of bloke you want in a bit of a dogfight.
Sutton was typical Sutton, right? And I don't mind the way
Sutton
play.
Yeah, I was
going to
ask how they...
I don't mind the way they play. I like the way they play, actually. I think, you mean, as a Sutton fan, you've got to be happy. At the moment, I think they're struggling. If they do lose Smith long-term, they'll struggle to score goals. But a good life at the back. They've got... and the other big geezer, he had to go off, unfortunately, which I think is going to be a massive loss for him. I ain't going to... Or something like that. I can't pronounce his name. Signed from Bromley. You know, he's massive. He's like 8 foot tall. Everyone said we should have tried to sign him in the summer. They have long throws and stuff, and they battle Eastman. It batters you. Have you seen the clip, though, which I loved as well? Nuffield and Ali in Eastman's face when we score.
Yeah.
Proper gives it to him. That's what I love. That's what we wanted. And Boogle, he's a monster. And what I didn't realise about him is he's not just big and strong. He has a leap on him as well, Dan. So he gets up really high. And with his strength and stuff, he wins flick-ons for... So, I mean, Davison, Pell came on. They were both excellent when they come on, but Davison can't get in the team at the moment, which is huge for us.
I said to Dad today, I was talking about it, because he was talking about Davison and stuff. And all I was saying is that Davison seems to me now to be the perfect guy to come on if you're one up with 20 to go. Just run, legs, you know, chasing people down, trying to hold up. But I just don't... So I've never really seen him in a particular light where he's just going to score goals. I don't see it happening, but
He's that when we go 1-0, 2-0 up against Sutton, you bring him on, and you said then you've got defenders who are absolutely knackered because they've been in a game with Ali and Boogle, and then they've got Davison who don't stop. And then you think, just give us a break, lads. You know what I mean?
How do you think this team is going to hold up at the moment? Weather set fair, nice sort of pitches, nice to pass. How do you think this team is going to set up when it starts to get dark and it starts to get dingy and horrible and the ground gets thick? Do you feel that this team will be able to carry on as it is, or do you feel like we're going to get found out?
That's the big question, because people like Tilly and stuff are playing really well on these pitches. Reeves does well on these pitches, but yeah, I think we'll be fine. I think we've got battlers in the team now. We as I said, we went to Sutton and the ball was off the floor a lot. Do you know what I mean? And we dealt with it. And to go away 3-0, clean sheet, yeah, we're two penalties away from being 12 points out of 12, top of the league, absolutely flying. It's all positive. I can't see why people are being negative and stuff at the moment. There's a few
people being negative.
There's a few still out there. There was a few on the debrief just saying it's early days. Remember last year in August, we were doing okay. Under Robbo in August, we were doing okay. This, as I said to you last week, something special is happening. It's a different team. I want to go every game now, Dan. I'm going Saturday. I'm going Wednesday. I even looked at Newport, getting to Newport. And if it weren't for a train strike and £90 trains, I probably would have chanced my arm. But I'm not. I can't drive 3.5 hours there, 3.5 hours back when I got work Sunday. But trains just ridiculous. 82 quid and there's train strikes. Ridiculous. But yeah, looking at every game at the moment and thinking, I really want to go. Do you know what I mean? I've got mates who came Colchester and they want to come Forest Green.
Do you think this is like the most surprising Wimbledon start? Like, I mean, I remember when I was younger, going to watch QPR away. We beat them. I reckon it might have been 3-0, you know. And we were top of the league in the Premier League. I was like, oh my God, this is like, it was only two games or whatever. But is this a really, I just feel like this is really blindsided me because I wasn't expecting this at all. I wasn't expecting the way that we've played, the results that we've had. You know, yes, we've had at times we've had to ride a luck. Colchester in particular, I thought we had to ride a luck a little bit. But is this the most surprising start? Do you feel like we've had?
But something we had to ride our luck as well, to be fair. Yeah, you know I mean, they had a couple of chances. I said after 1-0, Bass makes an unreal save. But I think that's what good teams do. You ride your luck and you score when you're on top. And we said this on the debrief about the fixtures when they first come out. And people are trying to paper over the cracks a little bit with regards to where positions are. Like Wrexham are in 16th. We've only drawn with a team that's 16th. No, Wrexham come into this league as one of the favourites to win it. Do you know what I mean? Agreed. And we, yep. I think, they were average. We battered them for long periods. We've retired their goalkeeper now. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
That's so crazy.
Well, I just find it funny how he said, come on, League One, here we come. And then 4 games later, he retired. People got to stop mouthing off, which is quite rich coming from me. But yeah, I don't know. You looked at the fixtures. Grimsby away, tough game. You took the draw there, weren't you? And considering they didn't really batter us up there either, like you'd think they could do. We missed a penalty. Colchester, you would say that's the game you looked at and thought, yes, that's guaranteed. We've got to win at Colchester. You know what I mean? They're 3 points there from last season this year. Wrexham, you think, oh, let's go out there and battle them and see if we can get a point. I thought we were the better team. Sutton, that's the one that I think people actually stood up and thought,
I'm desperate to win it because obviously I felt last year the two Sutton games were probably they're the two low points of the season. I thought we were absolutely terrible at home. And it was that almost a springboard to be like, right, we're going to get better. But playing them away, New Year, we lost obviously a Sal and the like, was shocking.
For me, Dan, this team's different this year as well, as we've got strength in depth. You've got people sitting on the bench. Pell ran over to Jackson when he scored because obviously they had that little thing about Jackson said, when I first came on, I scored. Have you got it in your locker? And he did it straight away, didn't he? And then that's why he ran up to Jackson. Do you know what I mean? You've got James Ball sitting on the bench. One of my mates, two of my mates.
Yeah, what is that about?
What?
The ball thing about being in a bar. I've read about it somewhere.
My mates were in Prague. Titch and Josh were in Prague. A few mates.
Two made up mates, basically, yeah?
Yeah. Titch, he's losing his hair. He loves it. But
loves it and he's lost his hair.
So they were in Prague. They were having a few drinks. One of them's Josh is wearing his white retro Wimbledon shirt. Got Sky Sports News on. So they're cheering and stuff. Get chatting to a couple of lads. They're James Ball's good friends.
Oh, right.
So they started chatting. So then they had a photo and sent it to James Ball. So I went on Twitter and said, he put a thing about this squad. And I said, just keep biding your time. Because apparently they said to him, his mate said to Titch and Josh, he knows at the moment he can't get in ahead of Little and Reeves because they're just too good at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But he's loving it. he's loving the club, but he knows that them two are just mustard at the moment. But once, if they drop off or anything, he's going to be ready to play. And they were like, oh, wicked, good attitude to have, especially after what Rochdale said about him. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's good to hear. And then I just tweeted him and said, look, bide your time. Once you get in, take your chance and just run with it. By the way, your mates are in Prague with my, like, with people we know. Get him a drink. And he was like, oh, I sort it. And then apparently he tried to get it done, but logistics didn't work. I think they left the bar that his mates were in and then they couldn't find him. So, yeah, he tried to get a round of drinks for all the boys that were out there. So,
mate, that's absolutely bonkers. I think the one thing at the moment is we've been relatively set on an 11. It'll be interesting to see where we're at when we have a couple of niggles and we've got to work around it. But yeah. let's got to talk about Ali. Obviously, didn't score Saturday. Play all right?
Missed an absolute sitter.
Yeah, I think that's really, been all over the place. Yeah.
Really bad sitter again. His confidence looks a little bit shot from last year. This was one of my worries with Ali, is that we're relying on someone who's only played 10 games previously. He scored loads of goals in it, but he hasn't played for Wickham before that, Swansea before that. Do you know what I mean? We're relying on him to score a lot of goals this year.
To be fair, at the moment, we've got away with murder, and the fact that we're third in the league and he hasn't scored. I mean, what's been good from what I can gather, I obviously missed the last game, but he's still working really, really hard.
Yes.
He's still, the fans absolutely love him, and yes. He seems to be reacting to that.
Yes.
I guess the question is, right now with a week to go, do we want that run to carry on? Do we could do with him out scoring against Forest Green and then scoring against Chelsea, couldn't we?
His work rate's still phenomenal. He's still strong. He's still getting chances. Yeah. And that's what you want to see from your striker. I think he'll stay.
Okay.
Barnsley apparently put a bid in, but Barnsley don't have any money. Right. We are rumoured to want 1.2 million. The sell-on clause that Wickham have isn't 50%, it's 25%.
Oh, right.
So,
let's not beat around the bush. How much is he actually worth? Not how much is he worth to us in from footballers now. Is he, let's argument sake, is he more valuable than a Sal?
Yes.
Okay. So that means he's got to be million minimum.
I've seen mad figures.
Where do you think he is?
So a lot of Wimbledon fans saying 2 million minimum. Wickham fans can't believe that we'd get more than 1 million for him, considering he was there for a little while and they just like, what are Wimbledon seeing that we never saw? I think between 1.5 to 2 million in today's market, Dan, where you've got people going for massive money everywhere. You know what I mean? You've got Saudis spending money left, right, centre.
But not a lot, though. Not a lot in League Two, mate. That's the thing. I don't see huge money spent on League Two players.
You've got Giza who scored 9 in 10 last year.
But in League Two, though.
Yeah, but Championship, they want him. I think we should be looking at one. I think we should be asking for 1.5 million. Then you go from there, don't you, really?
But is he worth 1.5 million? That's my question. Is that
I don't think any League Two footballer is worth 1.5 million. I don't think any League Two footballer is worth 1 million. There's not one player I've seen out there and thought, oh, yeah, I'd like Wimbledon to go get him. Oh, it would cost us 1 million. I don't think any League Two footballer, it's like if you ask Premiership footballers, I don't think they're worth 30, 40, 50 million pounds.
No, but I know, I know what you're saying,
but I just think as a club, and what we're looking at, we've got some good money coming in from Chelsea. I don't think we need to sell him. I think we keep him until at least January. And we, do you know what I mean? He seems happy.
I mean, the thing as well, Lee, is that he's worth, 1.2 now, right? And he's not scoring goals. My dad said, if he stays and he gets hot in December, I mean...
Yeah. And you look at it with him again in December and say to him, look, we're second in the league, third in the league. We're just outside playoffs, maybe. Do you know what I mean? That's the conversation you're having. You've scored 15 goals. That's probably way too much, to be fair. I'm saying. You're scoring goals again. We have got interest from Middlesbrough, but they only want to pay 750,000. Do we throw away our season for 750,000?
No, you wouldn't.
You know what I mean? And I think that's the conversations the club need to be having now.
And you've got to replace him as well, haven't you? You'd have to replace him.
I still think we need to. The thing is, we're going to talk about the January windows shortly, but that closes soon. I still think we're a striker short, unless you're going to use Harry Pell as that number 10 all the time.
Yeah.
I just think I just don't think we throw away our season now. By selling, we don't need to sell him now. That's the thing. He's under contract.
Do you think it would? Do you think losing Al Hamady would kill the season?
Yes.
Or do you feel like,
where's that goal going to come from?
Well, what I'm saying is that I don't. I'm not sure that's the case. I'm sure if you sell Ali Al Hamady for excess of 1 million, even if it was 50%, you got 1.5, which is, say you got 750, you could easily get a decent player.
But you're not.
And pay the wages for it.
The club
plus
not,
pay a bit off.
The club are not going to put that money into buying a player, though, are they, Danny? They're going to put that back into the stadium. We have a large debt that we have to pay. You know what I mean? We have to start paying this debt off at one point. There's a guy who goes on Twitter. I can't remember his name now. I haven't got it in front of me. But he said he's worried that this is one of our largest budgets that we've ever had. I think it's something like 4.2 million on wages this year, I think. I don't know if that's correct, but he wrote it on my Twitter and I haven't got the actual figures in front of me.
Or X, if you like. Yeah,
but, do you know what I mean? We have to start paying this debt off. We sell Ali. That's a large chunk of the debt paid off. We've got a large chunk coming from Chelsea. Do you know what I mean? I just don't see how the club then go, right, we're going to go get a Dom Telford or someone who's going to score goals. Who else is out there? Can you name me another striker that you would sign? No one, I don't think.
There will be loads of League One forwards there'll be a few League One forwards who
name me one.
Could fit. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
And you're also then hoping that they'll come in and fit straight into a system.
Yeah,
you're left with Bugle,
Davison, with
Sasu
Pell behind.
Maybe, and Pell behind.
Yeah, with a another.
If we get a another, though,
yeah.
We're not guaranteed.
I'm just saying there's
say
a whether
we lose
or not it's
him
the end
two
of it.
Days before the window closes. Day, you know what I mean? Because he ain't going to want to leave now. Because he'll want to. When does the window close?
Next week. So it's a week
what
today.
Day?
No,
what
week.
Day?
Yeah, it's week. Is week today? 30? Is it the first? Yeah. When? It's Friday. Next Friday.
It closes on the first.
It closes, I think it's done on the 31st.
So,
31st at midnight, it's done.
I know he might not have the choice, but he'll want to stay and play in the Chelsea game. Ali will. Right,
well, this was the conversation I wanted to have with you. Right. It was about, he's obviously going to want to play in the Chelsea game.
Then he leaves the
thought,
next day. Are we going to have enough time then to get a replacement in?
Well, it all depends on whether we've done the background work or not.
It depends on what his agent's saying, because his agent might say to him, look, don't put any bids into other teams who may be thinking about it. Wait until last minute and then put a bid in, because you'll then force Wimbledon's hand. He's just played against Chelsea. You've seen him on TV, and then boom, boom, boom.
But regardless of the clubs you're in, Lee, I don't know about you, but I just don't see it being a great move for him. He's just... Join Wimbledon.
He stays.
He's got a really positive fan base. We're doing okay. He plays every week. The fans love him. He hasn't necessarily hit the ground running this year. For me, I think for his career at 21, he should play a year playing regularly, knowing, and let's be blunt, we both know that he has a good year this year. We don't see him next year.
But
he's got 1 year to smash it, and then he will be picked up by a league one team, providing that he gets 10 goals this year.
Then no one, that might be the case. He might be as happy as Larry and going, I'm not leaving yet. Do you know what I mean? It's just all speculation that the papers and Twitter and them are making out, like, because Barnsley have put a bid in. Barnsley have just gone and signed Nombi from Exeter. So he might not even be up. That might have forced that hand be going, well, if you ain't going to sign for us, Nombi, we're going to go get Ali. Do you know what I mean? It's all Tetris. Do you know what I mean? Putting bits into where it is putting little squares, you know what I mean? And then one don't work out, you have to quickly maneuver stuff again. It's all hearsay stuff like that. Ali might be as happy as Larry.
Okay, so in a word, yeah. Is Ali worth 1.5 million?
Yes.
Or no, let me change it. Should Wimbledon sell Ali for 1.5 million? If a 1.5 million pound bid comes in, should we take it?
Not now.
Final question is come September the 1st, is he still a Wimbledon player?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's happy here. He's got a good fan base. Manager who likes him. Chairman who likes him, or whatever, Craig Cope and all that.
It's just every player.
He's never done it before at Swansea. He's never done it before at Wickham. He's had his chances.
Every player has
he's
a price, unfortunately, in the Wimbledon shirt. And I wonder how much further north you're going to get than 1.5 million for
Ali. And at the moment, though, Dan, we have the power in our hands in the fact that he's under contract. We are in no rush to sell. We can keep him for a few more months and then look at it again in January if we have to.
It's a lot of money, mate. And I would doubt very much when we got him, we would think we'd get much more than 1.5 for him.
100%. And yeah, so. But we move on. And then when we come back, we'll be discussing Chelsea. Sold out, so all the tickets have gone. Are we going? And some of our fondest moments of going to Stamford Bridge.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the Carabao Cup game, the big game on Wednesday next week, where we play Chelsea. Looking forward. What do you make us favourites, Dan, in that one?
No, definitely not. Is it a big game, do you think? Or is it a bit of a freebie?
There's no such thing as...
No, but what I mean is,
I think it's a big game for the fans.
Yeah,
it's a big game for the players. It's not a big game for Chelsea.
No,
my Chelsea mates are going to be mugging me off now for that. It's not a big game for. Well, actually, they have been poor this year. They have been.
They're going to want to get back into Europe, and it's going to be an easy option. But also, having a little hiccup against us is not going to go down well with them.
No, and also, actually, yeah, it probably is a big game for them, actually, with the way they're playing at the moment. They're shocking, as you just said. Also, they've not got Europe this year. And if they win a cup, Pochettino, what? He's never won a cup before, has he?
I don't think so. But it's just, yeah. I mean, it'll be a really good day out. It will be interesting to see what Jackson does, whether he's going to decide to go. The reality of it is that if we've got any kind of hopes of being successful, we're going to need to play our best team. Whether he's going to decide to go three at the back or play five at the back and almost kind of retreat, I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what way he decides, because obviously Forest Green Saturday, yes, we get the extra rest day for Wednesday, but then we have a very short Saturday, and then the Saturday we're in Wales. So by the time we've played on Wednesday night, day off Thursday, we're going up to Wales Friday. So it'll be an interesting one to see the way that he goes. But yeah, we're both going. We're both lower tier, aren't we?
Lower tier, shed end, yep. We're not the boys. In the head. We're the shed. I can't. I'm buzzing for it, mate. I've got a mate of mine, Rich. He's in Colombia at the moment on holiday, him and his family. So he had 5 season tickets going spare. So me and a couple of lads, Buzz, who moved to Birmingham.
Oh, wow. What are you doing? Are you making a day of it or are you...
2 days.
What are you doing? 2 days?
Well,
in London,
Well, no, I'm going to come down early Wednesday, obviously. Not too early. I'll be down about mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
So come down mid-afternoon on Wednesday.
Have a few sherbets.
Mrs. is in London Thursday, so I've got to look after my 7-year-old on the Thursday. But hopefully I'm going to let her keep him up on the Wednesday night till late, and then he'll lie in on the Thursday because he ain't at school yet.
Is the boy going?
No, Jax, unfortunately, he's back at school. He lives near Leicester in Melton.
Yeah, but
Melton
never mind that. Wednesday, they're back at school.
My oldest goes back on Tuesday, mate. It's Tuesday coming, so they only have 5 weeks holiday, but then they have 3 weeks at Christmas, my oldest.
Oh, right, they go that way.
He's a northerner, isn't he? So that's why. He can't. He's gutted. He really wanted to come. He said, can I not miss 3 days off school? It's only the beginning, they don't really do nothing. And I was like, no.
So it's good that, like, Wimbledon, it looks like we've obviously sold our end. I'd be very surprised if it's not pretty much a sellout across
Chelsea
the board.
Chelsea sold out as soon as their tickets went on sale.
So what's Chelsea's capacity then? 40-odd?
Something about, I think something 40-odd
at 25 is a million.
It's about 300 grand that we could make.
It's a decent amount of money for us, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of money, mate. And I hope we do invest it into a player and not straight all of it.
Well, bearing in mind that normally when we do all of our budgeting, it doesn't take into consideration any cut run.
Well, that's the thing. So that's.
How many times have you been to the bridge?
A few times.
Oh, yeah?
A few times. Okay. Favourite one, obviously.
The 4-2.
Yeah,
I didn't go to that. No, I didn't go.
There was one other time I went, which weren't great. The 4-2 was brilliant, though, wasn't it? When we battered the Buff.
I remember watching Match of the Day.
Buff come out and started moaning because he had lumps on his head.
Do you know what? Even now, I still get the ump with the Viali penalty. Like, Sullivan clearly saved that penalty. Like, no doubt. If they did put the old thing up with the VAR now, he'd have done it. But the Ardley goal's good because it's in the middle, but I think is it the Akuku goal? Or the Gale goal? Might be a cuckoo when he runs and just batters it in the corner.
The Ardley goal was unreal.
The Ardley one was from quite far out.
It took a deflection, didn't it?
No, I'm not sure if it took the deflection. It just looked like, from what I could see on the telly, obviously, he obviously hit it away out, and whether it swung or something, the keeper just misjudged it completely.
I went there on a Boxing Day. Drew 1-1.
I went the first year of the Hullet year. And it was FA Cup 2-2. Me and my old man went. I think my brother might have gone. And it was where, do you remember they had the, behind that stand, they had the artificial, the red and blue massive board all the way along one behind the goal. And then that went down that year. And then they put up the sort of temporary seats, and we was in like temporary standing. And I felt 2-2. And then we lost the replay. It might have been FA Cup 5th. It was a year when we played at ours and they wore that horrible, like tangerine and graphite, they used to call it. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
FA Cup. Mark Hughes scored. I went recently to watch. I'm actually, my mate asked me to go if I want to go tomorrow. But I said, like, I'm not going there twice in a week. So that I've got.
Yeah, I went Boxing Day 1997.
Who scored?
Michael Hughes. Stella Solbakken playing for Wimbledon at the time.
What, in 97?
Yep. Wow. And then I went again and we lost 3-1. 2000, this was.
That's a relegation year, isn't it? With Lund.
Andreas Lund's first
debut, isn't it?
And he scores. We all go mental.
Yeah.
And literally, I think it's 5 minutes later, they score. And then 6 minutes later, we're 2-1 down.
You need is Lund.
And we were giving it all big licks, giving it all the big one to the Chelsea fans. And then, yeah. We're 2-1 down. But remember, a lot of Chelsea fans don't realise that football started until Abramovich came in, so they wouldn't remember us, would they?
While we're here, it's a bit of a delicate subject, naturally, but can we discuss the homophobic chant situation? Because it's been something that...
I was going to say this to you.
It's a weird one because... Okay, so I don't know about you, but I liken it a lot to kind of songs on the radio. Like, if you listen to a song on the radio, you just sing along to the words. You don't, and your kids would do the same, and Dolly, when she grows up, she'll be doing the same. And you don't sing it with intent with the words. You just sing because the words are the words. And had, you know, your little ones or little kids at our school, if they actually thought about what some of the words meant, you'd probably be like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea to sing it. But I just feel like with, like, the Chelsea songs, and particularly the one that the club's spoken about, the homophobic one, I just find it a bit weird because for me, it's just a chant. It doesn't mean anything. We're not implying anything. It's just a song that everyone used to sing. And it's just I don't know. I don't really understand. I'm not condoning it in terms of the content, but at the same time,
I had this discussion with my wife and I said, we're not allowed to sing it. It's homophobic. And she said, why? Not all of them are gay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We'll say it, Rent Boys. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, but... And I also find it very hypocritical of Chelsea to be banning any kind of song or get really upset about any songs, considering they still hiss, apparently, at Spurs fans, and some of the songs they sing regarding the Heysel disaster and, do you know what I mean, and the Munich disaster. And we all know... Like, I've got some Chelsea mates who are really good lads, but we all know Chelsea, you saw what they were like in Paris when they pushed the geese off the train. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. That lad, do you know what I mean? So we all know Chelsea are not the greatest club, and one of the reasons a lot of Wimbledon fans hate them is because of how they were back in the 70s and 80s and stuff. And yeah, I'm the same with you. I didn't... I'm I was quite shocked by it that they've now clamped right down on that song specifically as well. But I just,
I mean, as you said, nobody wants to create an environment when somebody doesn't feel comfortable, right? And I'm for that. But my concern, and again, I'm for it if it's going to make a difference. But we're starting to very quickly change the nature of watching football. And I don't necessarily agree with that movement. And it's going from being this great place, in my opinion, where people went. I liken it, right, to putting on the TV and watching somebody like Frankie Boyle, right? If you watch Frankie Boyle, you have to expect him to be controversial, him to be very, very, very rude and challenging. And it'd be ridiculous for me to complain to Channel 4 or any other TV show going, Frankie Boyle, it's this. What a disgrace. What I don't understand is a football area, you have a family stand, etc., where you might hear bits and pieces, but it just, I don't understand this. For me, it just sucks out energy out of the game. And I don't understand why all of a sudden the whole world has to kind of go it down to its lowest denominator. I don't get it. I don't think it's more enjoyable for my little girl. And I'll be like, that's bad language. You shouldn't say it. But I don't think it's going to make them. It will make the game more enjoyable to have less chanting or less energy, in my opinion.
I said that it's that Ricky Gervais line that people say that joke is offensive. And he says, well, no, you should turn around and say, I find that joke offensive. Do you know what I mean? Because, as I said, I never saw that song as being homophobic or against gay people or, do you know what I mean, the LGBTQ community. I saw it as a dig at Chelsea for being fucked, pretty much. Do you know what I mean? And that's how I saw it. Do you know what I mean? Through the years, under Ken Bates and people like that, you were getting it royally, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which they were. I never saw it like that. And then it's only recently when people come out. And there's a lot of Wimbledon fans I know, a lot of them who are very, like, against some things. But I guess most of them would have sung that song. I know we'll get people say, I've never sang. But there's a lot of people who would have sung that song before. Because, like you said, they would have just joined in. They wouldn't have seen it as being a homophobic chant. And I'm same as you with football now. When I took my boys, I say to them straight away, you're going to hear some bad language. You'll hear people venting and getting angry and stuff. It is a game of football. Don't take it seriously. Do not take it out of this stadium. Do you know what I mean? And my boy's never sworn. Do you know what I mean? I never hear him swear. He might swear amongst his mates, but he's never sworn in front of me. He's never sworn in front of other adults. And he's heard some really choice language of football, mainly coming out of my mouth. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know a huge amount of people in the LGBT community in general. My life hasn't. I mean, I know a few, but not nowhere near the volume of maybe other people. And I'd be really, really upset if I genuinely felt that people went to a game, heard someone saying it, and was like, "I am offended because you're saying that Chelsea are this." Like, I don't quite get it. I'm struggling to understand the correlation, really. And like I said, I really hope that people aren't offended and understand where I'm trying to come from. If they don't, then, you know, you can grab me at a game and I'll try and explain myself better. But
agree.
It's just an interesting, the world is moving so quickly and I'm just a bit uncertain about it.
There's a couple of our younger fans on Twitter. Kyle, who does the Dons on Tour YouTube channel, and he was like, oh, Wimbledon fans, please don't sing this, like, don't want to get fined. I was like, so what do we do now? Do we literally ban all songs? So Champagne's gone. Do you know what I mean? Because
Ali's song should stop.
You're singing about drugs. Do you know what I mean? You're singing about people's wives being slapped.
Also,
like, their
but
mums.
The problem I have with it, Lee, is then you'll start on the bad language, like, you know, the swearing, if you like. And then after that, it's like, when you got a couple of songs left. And
There was one thing I did find funny. Someone, I think Ray put it up, just saying, look, heads up from a Chelsea fan. He's put,
yeah.
it,
and
he's
that was
put it
great,
up. And
yeah.
I thought, yeah, brilliant stuff, Ray. Well done. You've made people aware that they could get in trouble if they go there and sing. Because people like me and you might join in without realising.
I totally would have done. And as I said, I don't sing
You're
it
a school teacher,
with the
you get
content.
Done.
I just sing it because it's a song. I don't have any correlation with the meaning or the words. I just sing the song.
100%.
Because everyone
same.
Else is singing it, and I just sing along.
And
I'm
as
not
I said, I never saw it in that way before.
It.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then I won't sing it because I'm not in that mm-hmm. way. Fine. But someone tagged Wimbledon, and they also tagged the AFC Wimbledon tickets. And I thought, okay, that's really weird. It's like me getting really finding an Eminem song offensive, going to one of his concerts, finding his song offensive, or do you know what I mean? Because he's got some homophobic lines in some of his songs, and then tagging Ticketmaster in, going, look at this. Like, what are they going to do? Do you know what I mean? And someone else said, have you told Danny, as in Danny Macklin? I was like, and then I tweeted back by saying, oh, does he sing that song a lot then? Because what's Danny Macklin going to do? Like, people are going to sing it. If they think they're going to sing it, they're going to sing it. If they get themselves in trouble, that's it. I would say to people, do not sing it now, because no, you are going to get yourself in trouble, and you do not want to be losing your job or go. Like, can you imagine what you're in for? I sang a song at football when it was
it's
like
also,
this,
but the thing with what we're both trying to get at is, like I said, if people find it offensive, I don't want to sing it. But what I would say is that at some point, when we're going down a hill where silly things are going to become offensive, and then all of a sudden the kind of language that is used at football or what we're doing, I understand that we want to appeal to more people, but it's also the game, the way that we're watching the game is changing. And I'm a school teacher, for God's sake, and I love my job, and I'm looking forward to going back to seeing the boys, and I like it. But I also remember being a little boy on the terrace, and it was like, for me, it was exciting to listen to all these adults swearing, and my dad being saying to me, just like you said, you've got 90 minutes where you're going to hear stuff. I don't expect you to say it. If you do say it, we'll talk about it, but we don't say it after this. But it was kind of like a 90 minutes of being naughty. Do you know what I mean? Like oh my God, I'm in this naughty environment. But it was also, in many ways, and it sounds a bit daft, but it was a level of respect. Like, my dad was like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to bring you into this environment where adults are going to behave in a way, and it's kind of an adult-y environment, if you like, and I'm going to respect you enough to be in this group. But it comes, it's like a learning curve, if you like. It's like a badge of honor. And I used to love going to football, but my dad always trusted me to behave myself. And it was kind of like a very early step into being a bit older, if you like.
I think going to football, for me, turned me into, from a boy to a man, because some of the stuff I saw West Brom fans get absolutely annihilated by Birmingham fans at Liverpool Station, one station, where they were getting battered with Paul Cues and hammers, you know, the break the glass. And I just thought, wow, this is, but I just thought, wow, right, stay out of that situation, stand 100%. Back, don't get involved. Do you know what I mean? But there's things you see at football, the things you hear at football, again, violence, racism, homophobic language.
Do you think it's become sensationalised? Do you think that being a football fan, but football has become,
was for the working class, it was for the working class man, Dan, right? And people are going to go mental on that comment. It was for the working class gentleman who had a really bad week at work, or do you know what I mean? He didn't really like his home life and stuff. And the 90 minutes of football, now women are getting involved, but do you know what I mean? I went foot with Anna and Vicky Saxby, Anna McMillan and Vicky Saxby. They were one of the boys. Do you know what I mean? They loved it. Do you know what I mean? They swore, they drank. Do you know what I mean? They were like sisters to us boys that went. Do you know what I mean? And we looked after them. They probably looked after us a lot more than we looked after them, to be fair. But it was about. And people say about mental health nowadays. A lot of people went to football to help their mental healths, to go there and go, right, I can now call the ref a bastard or the C word, do you know what I mean? And I'm not going to be... Now, you go there, you say you've got the eyes on you constantly, and it some of the fun is being taken out of football because it's being sensitized, and some of the stuff that is not that bad is being portrayed like... I said, who do I say? I had a guy in a taxi the other day, a West Ham fan. I said to him about, he said he don't go anymore. He goes, because I was going, he's like a 70-year-old man. He goes, I get treated like a criminal walking through Westfield by the police. We all got banged, like all ganged up together. He goes, we're all a bunch of 70-year-old men who couldn't find our way out of a paper bag. But we have to go all the way, long way, you know what I mean? And he goes, I just don't go anymore, because the fun for him was going,
I might be having a few pints, swearing a little bit and going home. I might be totally wrong. But for me, the game of football has moved so global and so almost non-tribal that even the Millwall aspect of it, mate's a Millwall fan, is like, it's nowhere near where it ever was. And I just feel like the sensationalism of being a football fan and stuff, I think it's got well out of hand. And I don't think the fighting that you do, you see, I saw some stuff with Wigan Bolton, and it was like 10 fans rowing. I mean, I've never been to a Wimbledon game. Since I've been watching AFC Wimbledon, I think I've been once where I saw a little bit of naughtiness, and that was MK. That was it.
And that's always going to happen. That's always going to happen,
so
because
I don't know,
the feelings. And I've seen grown men who are usually a calm, calculated people, would not swear at football, lose their shit against MK. But I've seen quite a lot of it. Never really got involved myself. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people think I'm a football hooligan because of the way I dress and the people I hang around with and stuff and the way they dress. But we just like to dress nice. Do you know what I mean? We don't dress in football shirts because we go out after a lot of the time. Do you know what I mean? You're not getting in pubs, restaurants or clubs in football shirts. It's the way it is. But yeah,
I just hope that whoever that people are trying to understand where we come from, it, because I can understand where some people might listen to this and go, wow, this is this, that, and the other. And yeah. I don't want to be that person, but I'm just going to put it out there that I'm just hoping that people understand what we're trying to say, and couple we're not
of,
trying to be difficult.
A couple of homophobic bigots, us.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Right. But no, I agree with you. Once I learned that song was a hate crime now and people did find it homophobic, then I won't sing it.
100%.
You know what I mean?
But I don't want to
upset anybody. I have sung it before. Do you know what I mean? I've sung it to my mates before, but I never thought there was any homophobic towards that for that song, really. And that maybe that's my issue, and people can educate me on that. And do you know what I mean? I'm happy for them to put their opinion across. But anyway, on a brighter note, let's, before we move on to transfers and the prediction, selling out 4,298 in what, one and a bit days?
Fantastic.
Crazy. I think we sold 3,800 season tickets. Season ticket holders bought tickets for the game. Because we had less than 500 when it went to the second priority. And that's they went in seconds. I've got to say as well, well done to the ticketing team. I don't know who's behind it. I'm guessing it's that Rebecca who works on the AFC Women Tickets Twitter. I guess it's them. And if I'm wrong, please just tell me who it is, because I don't think I know we had a glitch when the second priority, but that was fixed before the 2 o'clock window. I'm hearing loads of people got on fine. Any issues they had, they contacted the club straight away and they were fixed. And yeah, I just think it went really smooth. People got their tickets. Whoever wanted
it's
to
how
go,
it should be, shouldn't it, really? Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, good news. And I'll see you Wednesday for a sherbet and and battering them Chelsea mugs.
No, my pie, obviously.
Yeah. Well, they're banned from Chelsea.
Who isn't?
Right. We'll come back. We're going to discuss the January transfer window. January transfer window? The summer transfer window will be, the door will be shut in. That will be closing. Bang.
Wallop.
And then we'll discuss that and the prediction league, which obviously I will be in the top three, I reckon, so we'll discuss that in a minute.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and we're going to be discussing the January transfer window, and the closes on Thursday the 31st. I don't know the time. Day after Chelsea.
Normally it's 11, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. So what do you reckon, Dan? What do you think we need? Who do you like position wise? Do you think we'll get them positions filled? What do you think?
I think for me, it's always the goings out and the comings in. There's three players in my head at the moment that I'm my major, that they're the ones that could do one. We obviously lost Broom. I still think Zanev's up for grabs. I still think he's probably in his mind, and to a certain amount of other clubs, I think he's probably slightly too good to be backup. And I think having had a year in League One and a year in League Two as number one, I think he's desperate to play. And I can't see him being number two the whole year. So I think Zanev is an interest. He's got an interesting week. Jack Curry, although he's not playing and although he's not overly fit, he is definitely someone who is going to be on people's radar. And obviously Ali Alhamadi. So those are the three that I feel like there could be some energy on. Dependent on their movements will be what we do. Either way, we need another fullback.
Yep.
And I'm not necessarily with you regarding the extra forward, because I think now almost Pell's a forward, which gives you four. I don't see Pell being anything but a playoff the top man. So for me, I think that's the four forwards, and I think that's what we're going to do. But if we're going to play two up front and Jackson's got aspirations to play two up front, then the likelihood is we're going to need another forward. So personally, I think I would be very surprised if we don't get another fullback in, left or right. Ideally for me, right back. Although Ogonde's been okay and Brown's been all right, I think we need another fullback, because if one of them's get injured, we are absolutely knackered. So I reckon it's that. And then I think then it will be a reacting case. And once all that's done, and once we've got past the September, then we'll talk about Sasu, Locke, Williams, whether they go out.
No,
that's kind of where I'm sitting in it. And like I said, right now in priority, I think it's Al Hamadi, Zanev actually over Curry. I think Curry now is probably going to stay, but I think Zanev's a big. I think there'll be a club in league football who will be interested in him, and I think he's not going to be super expensive. And I feel that we could quite easily pick up just a little backup keeper, knowing, let's be honest, that if Zanev goes, whoever comes in, if it's this Sanford, they're talking about training with us at Millwall, we'll just get an emergency loan. Everyone does it.
You literally just...
For a keeper, everyone gets an emergency loan, don't they?
You just stepped on what I was going to say.
All right. Well,
I was going to say, I think I agree with you about Zanev. I think he will possibly still be off, because there was rumours going around. I think, what's his name from the SLP, South London Press, Brack Black, said that we're still got the Millwall Stanford training with us still. So
yeah.
I don't get why he's training with us.
You normally have three, don't you? You normally have three keepers.
I don't get why at our level where you need three. Because as you said, you can always get an emergency loan in as a goalkeeper. So
everyone does it though. Everyone's doing it.
So, and Foster's available now as well if we ever need a half decent keeper. But I think Zanev's gone. I think Curry stays.
Do you think Zanev's actually gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't get how he can go from being number one last couple of years, League One, League Two, and then be happy to be Loney's number two. I just don't. If you are, then good luck to you. Maybe you don't want to move, and maybe the team's coming in of Northern and he don't want to go up north, but I just can't see it. He's got aspirations to play for New Zealand. He needs to go off and play football. He ain't going to do that if he's number two. I think Ali does stay and possibly leaves in Jan. Curry is quite interesting to me. If he has apparently got an injury, but it'd be quite funny if he comes back after the window closes and we've kind of kept him. We've deliberately kicked him about so he hasn't played, so no one's interested in him, because we need him back massively. I think we need a fullback that can go both sides, left back
ideally,
or right. Because if Brown breaks down or suspension, Billa, bless him, I really love the kid to do really well, but he keeps getting injuries, and they're all different injuries as well. It's not like he's picking up the same injury and we can get it sorted. He's picking up new injuries which don't help. So I think we need a right back. I think since you and George had a go at Ogadia, he stepped up, and he must have listened, or his family's listened, told him, look, Danny and George have mugged you off on the Worms Had a Dream.
Mugged you right off.
Right. Lee's had your back, but
you have had his back.
Proper mugging you off. And I think he's been good, to be fair. I think he stepped up the last two games, but we still need backup. And the only problem I had, and I said this on the debrief, is, if we go, say we go out and get a loan, because we've still got some loans available to us.
Yep.
Most teams want their loans to be playing. If you get a Premiership loan,
of course.
They usually put stipulations in that they play a certain amount of games. And I just don't think we can afford to do that at the moment, because I think the players that are playing are doing all right. So why would you drop Ogundeer to get some Premier League loanee in when he's not yours? You're making him better and Ogundeer's improving.
No, but you're playing. I'm picking anyone, frankly, over Brown. I know Brown's been okay, but I'm not just saying that. I'm just saying that I don't think Brown can play three games in a week. And if this week we're going to have three games in a week, the likelihood is it won't be long before the FA Cup weeks and stuff.
I get that. And you don't want to be putting Johnson there because Johnson's so good at centre-back.
No,
so
exactly.
You don't want to be putting Johnson back at left. But I get that. But maybe. But then Curry comes back in. What are you going to do? You're going to drop your Premiership loan who needs to play 70% of games.
That's the conversation.
That's the problem you got.
I think it will depend on how long Curry's got, but I don't think it's wise playing Johnson at left-back, and I don't think it's wise playing Brown at left-back.
And my problem is, at the moment, other than Ali being our only goal scorer, which is not scoring goals at the moment, and as I said earlier, we're relying on him to score goals that he might not do, all three of them are very similar, Davison Bugal and Ali. Big, strong, quick, work hard, Ali's the only one that scores goals. I still think we need to get, I think we need to get a Joe Piggott style striker who's just going to pop up, don't do a lot. Do you know what I mean? A lot of fans don't like him because he don't win headers and stuff like that, but he'll score you goals. And I think that's the kind of striker we need. Not Joe Piggott, because apparently
we just want a goal merchant, basically.
We need someone who's going to stay in the box, fox in the box, score goals, bang. That's all you need. And someone that could be a Premiership or a Championship loanee again, but as long as they don't put stipulations on him to play, because I think we should have gone after. Have you seen who's the best player in League One at the moment?
No.
Janna.
Really?
Janna's playing for Cambridge and apparently the best player in League One currently, yeah. And Blode has just signed for Carlisle.
I saw that.
Blows my mind that these.
It's interesting that Nesta has been released, but he's literally been given a chance to go from Reading
to West Brom, though.
Is it really?
Yes. Mate, no. These players have got some unbelievable weight. I need to become a foot agent because they must earn money.
I don't know what. I don't know how you can be released from Reading and join West Brom.
But someone said to me the other day, do we need a kind of an attacking midfielder? Like, I kind of agree, actually. Like a really? Chislett style, but better. Never
but,
rate
but our formation Little doesn't really play that. It's 4-4-2, or you're playing 4-4-Pell.
So you don't change the formation ever now then. That's it. So we lose Reeves to injury or Little gets suspended. You go, right, we just have to play 4-4-2. We'll just put Morgan Williams in and someone else. You don't change it about
No, but no.
You don't
but
go
we,
one up front and then you play one behind him. But
Pell's which is what we've got Pell for.
And also, we lose Ali for two games in September. I think we lose him again in January if he's still with us. Omar might be gone if he gets chose by Lebanon. That's why we need another striker. But Dan, you've got to open your mind that we need different play. You need to open the book a little bit.
But we don't know. But we've been successful playing 4-4-2 for the last four games. Like, why are you wanting to change it? Why should we dictate? Well, no, but it's just 4-4-2. All I'm saying is, I'm so bored of us reacting our team on what other people are doing. Let them worry about us.
That's what I mean. So bring in,
which is 4-4-2. Don't pick an attacking midfielder who's not going to play. In your own words, at the moment, it's 4-4-2. If Reeves and Little have another month of playing wicked,
so
no one's going to want to join us as a central attacking midfielder, knowing they're not going to play.
So Ball's very similar to the Little and Reeves.
Yeah, right?
Morgan Williams is probably pretty similar to them as well.
That's four players.
Still have Williams going out on loan because he's not having any minutes at all at the moment. Sasu's getting on. Sasu's playing here and there. I'd have Williams going out on loan because he needs to be playing. But so who's changing the game when we really need it at the moment? Davidson and Pell. But who's that one who's going to do something out of nothing and go glide past someone? And other than Tilly,
well, you've got Sasu. You've got
it's not Sasu.
Tilly at the moment. You've got Newfield. We've got Ali. We've got Pell, who does something different.
Ali's a goal scoring striker.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Tilly only scored 11 goals in his whole career at Crawley.
He's smashing it at the moment.
He is at the moment. But what about if that dries up, or if he gets suspended, he gets injured, or he has a dry spell?
Well, I'm saying is, but you're talking about having a central attacking midfielder in a formation which we normally play that's not going to get much game time. And unless someone like Chislett was a decent footballer, and he might have been that person, but it's just, I don't understand. It's for me, it's just a quite a busy. We don't have one by per se, right? In my opinion, I think you're right on that, and I'm not going to disagree. I don't think we've got one, but my concern is the way that we're playing. We're not going to use one very often, and do we use our resources on one of these players, or do we hold fire and spend it on a position that we definitely do need?
Yeah, 100%. I do believe that we need to.
Because if you're going to play an attacking midfielder, you might as well pick another forward. And if you need to change the game, you just chuck another forward on and play 4-3-3.
I think the two positions we need right now is the fullback and the striker. And possibly, obviously, we're going to definitely sign another goalkeeper if Zanev goes. But I'm just saying, thinking outside the box, Dan, you've got to think about the transitions.
You've got to think about
switching the play. You've got to think about, do you know what I mean, how football works nowadays, Dan. You're stuck in the past. I'm in the future. Right?
Yeah. Mystic Meg lives.
Do you know what I mean? If Craig Cope ever needs someone, a sidekick or anything, then do you know what I mean?
My friend, I watch a lot of non-league football. an assistant to the head of recruitment. You're available, I think.
I definitely think we need to be looking at Southend and looking at their 11 and, or their 15 at the moment and going, right, they've just had points deducted. They're absolutely screwed now. See if there's anyone we can get from them for nothing. Or
I would definitely be open to having another punter, a young non-leaguer. I mean, we've got McLean, who no one's even mentioned yet. And he could be brilliant. He could be average. We have no idea. I'd be very, very tempted. There's a guy at Barnet, Idris Kanu, who's been quite linked with wanting to move. I mean, there's definitely players out there, but it's just a case of, I guess, a lot of these players you could buy and chuck out on loan. But like I said, it's definitely going to be an interesting week. And I definitely think we're active, but I don't think he's going to upset the apple cart too early.
I hope we leave it.
There must be a loan. We're going to definitely use a loan.
I don't want anyone signed before the weekend.
No.
I want us to leave. Some people hate January transfer window. January.
Can you stop saying January, please?
I want to leave it till deadline day.
Oh, God. One of these ones again.
I love it. Love it, mate. I'm up till midnight. Any deals come on, tweeting away. This is when I go to work, mate. I should have a yellow tie on during the day. Do you know what I mean? Phone's going off. Next week, if we do Thursday, it will be. I'm starting rumours all over Twitter, just making stuff up. I told you about the time when I wound up one of my friends when we changed the Spurs youth team's Wikipedia page and said that he'd just signed for AFC Wimbledon, sent it to him. He then went and told everyone that we'd signed him and it was just made up by us.
That's joke, you are.
Pure bants, mate. Top-level banter. Anyway.
Or full nonsense, that is.
Anyway, transfer window. I like the excitement. As I said, I used to sit on CFAX and wait for it to change and hopefully, come on, Wimbledon have signed Michael Hughes. Yes, mate, let's get in there, son.
No life. Right.
The predict the league. Obviously,
yes.
I'm going to be buying myself a shirt this year. I'm not
convinced on that. Well, firstly, I thought this would be a relatively low maintenance thing. It's been lively. We've had 138 people do it. Some do it 1 week, some do it the other week. So my only recommendation is just every time you see us on Twitter, just whack it on. But we've had 3 weeks.
What I'm going to do is every Friday, around lunchtime, when the podcast comes out Fridays, later on in the day, I'm going to put the thing up so people can get their prediction in on a Friday before the Saturday game so then they know. Because I don't want to do it. I used to do it earlier and then people forget about it. So if I do it on Friday, they've got to kick off to then get there.
Well, that's up to you. But it's been interesting. I've done every single person. I've done all their scores. I've done the lot. Obviously, I'm trying to limit data, people seeing everyone else, but I'll look into that details. But basically, at the moment, the top scores are 6 points. So 6 points out of 12, which isn't overly bad. So I'm just going to read out the honourable mentions, if I can, which are people who have got 6 and 5. So Alex Eastwell, he had a good week too. He's on 5 points. We've got a couple of complete wind-ups. NG, 1 week he's done. He predicted exactly right, Wrexham and Colchester, which is annoying. 5 points, Charlie Robinson. Absolutely smashing the life out of it. Dan Lewis, 1 week, 6 points, sickening, absolutely annoying.
I'm on six points.
And 1 week, it's a joke. I've done all 3 weeks.
Yeah, so you need to be looked at.
One, 4 and 1. I'm happy to pass it, mate. Whenever you want to look at it,
I'm okay, Bates.
And then we've got Gary Buss, 5 points. Bussy, the bus dog. Let's see where else we've got here. No, that's ridiculous from you.
That's a bus.
We've got Joe Moga.
Oh, the Moj.
The big dog, the Moji. Emoja. He's on 6 points. He's loving life. Let's see where in the battle between the podcast hosts. So look, we've got Lee Finch, 5 points.
Yeah. That's second.
One behind me. Well, one behind me, obviously. We've got Mark Goodchild. He's on 5 points. He's actually love life. Mod Gary, whoever you are, you're on 5 points. Gary the Mod. Joint first, Richard Farrell, Faz, he's on 6 points.
I don't want him to win.
Who? Richard Farrell?
Never really in a bit.
Well, he won't win. So, yeah, very exciting times. And obviously, I've done this one this week. I literally just do like a spreadsheet and I've just literally update. I'll do all the scores, transfer it over. And obviously, I'm happy to. What I'm going to do is in December, we'll do this as we go and I'll start like, I might do like a top 10 for you so you can see who's on what points. But in Christmas, I'm going to do like an eliminator. So the idea is each game, you just write down whether we win, lose or draw in the whole of December. And basically, if you are out, you're out, and the last person standing wins a prize. There we go.
Well, you've just changed. People are going to be fuming there.
Well, no. This is the big one. This is the big dogs.
Oh,
this
right. You're not getting
this is the PA's de resist. No. This is carrying on. I've put too much into it already. But yeah, I'm going to do like my own little Christmas gift of, you know,
like a last man standing kind of thing.
Definitely. And the idea is I'll enter it. All the matches will go on. And you've got to basically just tick what you want to tick, and whoever's left at the end is left at the end.
I was saying to you earlier, you know, with like fantasy football, like people take it really seriously. Do you have any tactics with regards to predicting scores, or do you just go?
Look, if you just want me to help you, you've got to do is just say, look, Danny.
I don't take it seriously. Some people look into the form. They look into the last, like, have they got any injuries before making predictions? I just go, I fancy Wimbledon to win 2-0. Or you could just go 2-1, 2-1 every week, Wimbledon 2-1.
What I normally do is I normally obviously work out who we're playing and roughly, I mean, we know the good teams and the bad teams and look at our form and then just go, right, I feel like we might concede, we might score. And I just, it takes me 20 seconds. And the form obviously is really simple. You just tip it in. If you don't write in your full name, I'm not accepting it. If you don't, and I don't want people to write 2-0 Dons, just follow what it says. Put the first team who are playing at home, their score first, and then the second one after. And it's a piece of cake. Basically, it's been good. There was an annoyingly, and one of our friends over at the 9 years, they do one like a proper league, and it automatically does it for them. And I was like, oh, that's exactly what I needed, but I didn't want to, you know, change it all up just because they're doing it. So I'll just do it a bit old school this year, and I'll look into it from December.
Yeah, and say friends lightly. But yeah.
Well, we're all friends.
So I don't have any tactics at all. I just get scores, mate, and then I'll smash it.
Yeah, but you genuinely don't know what you're talking about.
Don's vlogs.
So
doing
for
it.
You,
I'm
it's
smashing.
Just...
I'm smashing Don's vlogs one. So
what? Don's vlogs are doing one. Everyone's doing one.
Yeah, it was his. He was doing it first, I think.
Was he?
He kind of trademarked it. He kind of tried to have word me and said, look,
why have I done it?
Why is Danny Baker doing it? I said, don't worry about it, Danny.
I don't know.
He's the nuts.
All I can do is apologise to Don's vlog. If I genuinely knew that you were doing it, I wouldn't have done it.
Geez had about 10 holidays this year, mate, so I wouldn't worry too much. You know what I mean?
He loves life.
He was in holiday recently. He was in Lanzarote. Did you see he wore the AFC Women Hawaiian shirts?
Did he?
Yeah, man and his boy. But I've never
I haven't seen anything. But what I have seen is I like these holidays where it's like a lad's holiday and they buy those sort of secret shirts and they do the random reveals of like the random football shirts. I've been a big fan of that. I'm waiting for the Wimbledon.
I'm okay because we went on a stag. Was it my or Little Dave's? Magaluf.
Little Dave. Hold on, Little Dave. Why is he called Little Dave?
This is about 4'9".
Is that what it is? Because he's little.
Yeah, he's really small. Chelsea mug. Works on Wimbledon tennis. He's an absolute hero. He's a legend, the geezer. Absolute hero, but he's a Chelsea fan, so he's a mug at this moment. He's a legend, Little Dave. But his brother Steve's a proper mug. We call him Big Steve because he's quite a fat boy. He looks like Frank Worthington, you know, the paper mache.
Yeah,
he looks like him. Right? And
Steve.
We're in Magaluf Stag, and then a load of guys walked in with all different football shirts on. One guy got one shirt bought for him, bowls in with it, and we all go mental. Guess the shirt he had on. Scum.
No. Really?
He's a Portsmouth fan, don't have a clue. He comes in, about 8 Wimbledon fans are like, what the fuck are you wearing that for, you mug? He's like, I'm on a stag do. It was a mystery shirt. So, do you know what I mean? What am I meant to do? I'm on a stag do. I don't really care about your club that much, really, to be fair. And we were like, yeah, fair dues, mate.
U-boat
wanted a steam right in. We had to climb him right down. We had to go, look, U-boat, get yourself another fishbowl. Calm down, mate. Anyway.
have another Quantro.
Magaluf, I used to run that gaff. Anyway, right, let's move on. Well done to all the people taking part. Again, it will be released tomorrow and you can put your predictions in for the Forest Green Rover. Are you doing Chelsea in it or not?
Yeah, of course.
So Forest Green and Chelsea, put your predictions in. Get that sent over to Danny. He loves the work, so fair play. And we'll come back. We finish the show with the Forest Green Rovers preview.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Last part of the episode, and it is the preview of Saturday's game against Forest Green Rovers. They've got, what's his name?
Troy Deeney's signing, isn't he?
No, the ginger kid, we sold him.
Alfie Bendel.
Troy Deeney, player coach.
Is he player coach?
The problem is, I like giving away players a bit of abuse. Not too much, like we discussed earlier, not too much abuse, but I like to get on there. Like Foster, I like to call him a YouTube wanker. He loved that. Troy Deeney's one, I don't know if I can give him abuse because he's the kind of guy who literally will jump over the hoardings and give me a smack. You know what I mean? I don't want to be getting knocked out by Troy Deeney on a Saturday afternoon.
With you, mate, you'll have to join the queue, I think.
Yeah, there's enough kid. There'll be enough kid, yeah. Good one, Mouth.
Can I be honest with you? I'm starting to dislike Forest Green.
I hate him all the time, mate.
Quite a lot. I just find the owner incredibly annoying. He's the guy who's the Just Oil supporter, isn't he?
He helps them, he funds them.
And it's all that sort of stuff. And obviously, they've not been particularly good at the start of the year. They don't look... I'm looking through their squad. I don't recognise many at all. Ryan Innes, he's the bloke who got sent off against Charlton against us, wasn't it? Super quick. Literally came on, got sent off straight away in the league game. And the other one they've got is Matthew Stevens. Matty Stevens, wasn't he the forward that we were interested in?
From Walsall, the one we tried to sign, I think
it's him. And obviously we got Armani Little from him. I wouldn't say it's a big game now, but I think it's a game that we'll win.
It's a strange one for me because these kind of games are very flat because they won't be bringing many away fans down. They don't have a big core support, so they'll bring a few hundred down. And I just find the atmospheres in them games then are quite flat because you've got no one. Like Wrexham, I thought it was brilliant because you gave them banter, they gave it back, do you know what I mean? And then that kind of lifts the players, lifts the fans even more. With a team where there's only going to be a couple hundred, they're going to be in the corner, you don't really have that. So yeah, they are a bit flat. I think hopefully not many players are going to be thinking about Wednesday and Chelsea and like coming out of tackles like we've done previously. Can't see that happening, but I don't know if he mixes it up for Saturday and changes the team around. I hope he don't. I hope he starts with the same 11, but does he change it to think about Chelsea or does he just go, right, I'll play you. Do you know what I mean? Does he start Ball instead of Little?
What's more important, the Chelsea game or the Forest Green game?
Forest Green, massively. Yeah. But you know how managers work. They work very differently. They don't want to go Chelsea and get spanked. And I'm hoping he'll start with the same 11. I think he will.
Curry's still not fit?
Not at the moment, I don't think. I think he's a little bit behind still. I think he's a week.
I mean, I think the atmosphere will be pretty good. I'm sure that, you know, we're still technically in the holidays and we've been playing some really good stuff. I'm sure when we get there, the atmosphere will be buzzing. I think people will be really, really excited to go. And I feel like it's a game, regardless of where they... Even before the start of the season,
I had
these locked down as bottom eight.
Yeah.
For me, they were going to be a double drop. They lost all their oomph.
Yeah, they've got a new manager, apparently plays some attractive football, tries to get at you. I think that could help us. Do you know what I mean? They try and press and work the transitions. But yeah, I'm hoping we can play like we've done. If we've been playing like we do, then yeah, I think we'll beat anyone at the moment in front of us. I'd like it to be a bit of an easier game that they don't have too many chances like Colchester have had and Sutton have had a couple of chances against us. But I hope we play like we have done because if we do, we'll score goals. We look good at the back. Yeah, and these are the ones, as I said, I think when you looked at it on paper, Colchester, Forest Green, they're the ones you'd be going, yep, we need to pick up 3 points from them.
The scary thing, get a win, could be top.
Not scary.
We could be top of bloody League Two. I mean, that's
I said it
mental.
The other day, mate. We're winning this league by Christmas.
I mean, we can't be top. Chillingham are absolutely bossing it. Mind you, they're bossing it, but they've just won 1-0 for four games.
I was just about to say, James Tilly has scored the same amount of goals as the whole of Chillingham put together, haven't they?
I think the interesting thing for me, just looking at our, just looking at us,
gloss over my fact there.
I didn't. I was completely lost interest in your fact. it's the fact of all of the things, our defence has been our strong point. Which is quite unusual. When he conceded one goal, we're second in the league behind Gillingham. That's quite interesting. With the way I've watched us play, I wouldn't necessarily have put that down as. I mean, do you think that's our strength? Do you think what would you say right now? Then, obviously, Saturday, is it gonna? Are we more likely to see goals? Or are we more likely to keep a clean sheet? I mean, what's our strength as a team?
Mad at the moment, you think we're more likely to keep a clean sheet?
Yeah,
but I said again on debrief. I said the this year for me the difference is we've got a very good spine. So you go from Bass. Johnson and Lewis, Reeves, Little, and then Bugle, Ali. That's across that. Well, I don't think we've had that for years, that kind of straight across two as well. Normally you go Bass, Lewis, Reeves, Bugle, but there's two. You go Bass, and then you've got two going through, which is really unheard of normally, especially at Wimbledon. And I think that's what I like about this team at the moment. And I look and think, yes, we've got Omar Bugle playing on Saturday. Do you know what I mean? He's going to give him a torrid time no matter what happens. Do you know what I mean? Ali can hopefully open his account. Newfield hopefully will get some space and attack him. Tilly's on fire. It's, as I said, I've not seen a game at the moment where I'm ranking people under seven. Do you know what I mean? And if they have, they've only just got under that number. And that's what I like at the moment. I think if we're playing, we just got to keep these standards going. You know what I mean, keep these standards high, keep the blueprint on the paper going, and we'll beat teams down whoever they are. We'll beat them.
I'm not worried about them at all. I think this is going to be a really good week for us as a club. I feel like we're going to get. So come on in, let's stop mucking about. Forest Green, Wimbledon. What's the score?
2-0 Wimbledon.
Is Ali going to score?
Yes.
Are we going to play an attacking midfielder?
Well, no, unless we sign one before then, but hopefully we won't sign anyone until the January transfer window.
I hate to be that bloke, but I think I'm going to have to go 2-0. 2-0 Wimbledon. I can't see us doing anything but that. I feel like we could score one in each half. And then going into the Chelsea game, obviously we've spoken about Chelsea, but look, you know, let's get our predictions out there for the world. I'm going for 2-0 for Wimbledon against Forest Green. And then Chelsea... I'm gonna go 2-0 loss. I think it's
Chelsea.
I can't see it getting very near it, but I'm gonna say 2-0 loss.
We'll win off the pitch, but on it, I think we'll get turned over 3 or 4-0.
Okay, well, no, you can't go 3 or 4-0. It's a prediction league. But what is it? What are you doing? Are you doing 3-0 or 4-0?
3-0.
Okay, interesting.
Only because the players they've got, I think they'll play a fairly strong team.
I think they'll be a very good. I think they'll be a very strong team.
Well, they've got about what 100 players to pick from,
exactly. So whatever they pick is going to be a very strong.
They'll pick
team.
11 internationals at least. So, yeah, I don't get how we can deal with their pace, the pace of the game. It worries me. We might go with 4-4-2. I think I'd rather go with 4-5-1 against.
Well, he did that, Jackson. He played one up front, put Pell in between the lines.
Yeah,
when we play Coventry, which I can see him doing more of that.
Otherwise, if we play 4-4-2, I think we'd just get overrun by Chelsea massively and destroyed.
Yeah.
But it's such a... as you said, it is a free hit at the end of the day, because I hate that word but in the league, but when you're playing Chelsea, ex-Champions League, ex-European team, you know what I mean? They're not the force they used to be. We're not playing one of the big top four anymore. We're not playing a big gun. It is just a little side in Fulham. And we'll... Hopefully, yeah, we'll go there.
Just a little team near Fulham, isn't it?
Yeah, that's all they are. They're just a bus stop in Fulham, mate. But yeah, I just think, yeah, they're unfortunately going to have too much quality for us on the day. But
I only know the Chelsea Flower Show. Don't know anything else.
Good Flower Show, that as well.
And a pensioner.
Right. Well, let's wrap it up.
And a bun, and a Chelsea bun.
Chelsea. Oh, and a pensioner. Yeah, the Chelsea bun. Yeah.
Apart from that, I don't anything else.
What's a Chelsea bun?
Oh, Jesus.
Ain't that just an ice bun?
Do you know what? I think we're done, mate.
I'm a yum yum or a Belgian bun, man. So, anyway. Right.
You can blame you.
Let us know what your favourite buns are in the comments. Right. We'll wrap it up. And yeah, thanks to our sponsors this season. Gary Fletcher,
thank you.
The boys down the Season Master.
Go on.
We are.
Not Ball Masters, no?
No, not Ball. That was the other week, mate.
It was the other week. Came
yeah.
down.
That's it from the number one AFC Women podcast, the only unofficial AFC Women podcast on the market, the only place that gives fans a voice. And that's it. Well, we would have had a fan on today, but unfortunately, yeah. Stuck in it.
We're the only podcast that gives fans a voice. By the way, no one else is going on.
But he would have been. And next week, we've got another
fan. He would have been.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll see.
Sunday debrief back on Sunday with you, with myself, Lee Finch, giving the fans a voice then.
Finchy, winchy, woo.
Yeah, we'll be discussing Forest Green Rovers. But yeah, Danny, thank you very much. I'll see you on Saturday.
No bad language, all right? Keep it clean.
I'll try and be good. I ain't got my boy with me, so you never know. But yeah, that's it. Come on, you duns.
Well, on, bros.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.